So Joshua chapter 18, verse 3 says this. So Joshua said to the Israelites, how long will you wait before you begin to take possession of the land the God of your ancestors has given you? That's the question. How long will you wait before you begin to take possession of what God has already given you, what God has promised you, what God has said is yours? How long are we going to wait till we begin to take possession? Then a couple chapters later, it kind of wraps this up a little bit. It says, so the Lord, in Joshua 21, verse 43, says, so the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their ancestors. And then it says, and they took possession of it and settled there. So God gave it to them, and they took possession of it. So there's a difference between what God promises and possessing the promise. There's a gap between what God has said is yours and then actually stepping in and taking possession of it. God has something incredible for each and every one of us, but too many people are failing to really step into everything that God has. Too many people are living way too short of the promises of God, way too short of all that God has. God has incredible things for you and for me to live in, to walk in, to live in. God's got something specific for Genesis Church. Now, you guys, it's incredible to see what God has been doing, but you guys are a year into this location. But I just believe that God has got some new territory yet to take. Amen? God's got new land. God's got new things that he's promised you guys, that God has given to you. But how long are we going to wait, right, to step into it, to begin to take possession of everything that God has for us? I wonder how many of us in the room, there's something that's in our hearts, some call that God's put on you, a dream God's put on the inside of you. Maybe it's been there for years. Maybe it's recent. But there's something that God's put on the inside of you, but there's a delay for some reason. You feel like there's a barrier for some reason. For some reason, what's inside of you, you have not yet stepped into. And I just feel like I'm a voice this morning to encourage you and to challenge you and to remind you and to ask, how long are you going to wait before you begin to take possession of what God has promised you? There's a dream. There's something that God has called you to do that only you can do. There's something that God's put in the inside of Genesis Church that only Genesis Church can do in this community. But we got to step into it. We got to take possession of the land. We've got to step into the territory that God has promised us. It's time to take possession of the promises of God. It's time to get a hold of it. It's time to not be okay with just sort of stepping into the promised land, but not really going all the way with it. Because in this situation, what's happened is Joshua has already fought the epic battle of Jericho, right? Moses was originally leading them to the promised land. Then he hands it off to Joshua. And with God, Joshua comes in, leads the people to victory, and takes over Jericho, right? And it's this epic battle. But that was really just the beginning of what God had for them. That wasn't everything. That was just the first kind of gate into the promised land, that from there they would begin to take over and take possession of everything that God had for you, right? Everything that God had put in their hearts. But for some reason, they had stepped into that part but had settled there, and Joshua has to come and say to them, hey, what are you doing? Come on, don't get comfortable with this little thing that God's given you. I got so much more for you. And I think some of us, we come and we experience Jesus and we get saved. I mean, it's the most incredible thing to find life and hope in Jesus again. But sometimes we just go like, okay, cool, yeah, I get to go to heaven, but, you know, I don't really expect anything else or really want to, you know, fulfill anything else that maybe God's given me or put in me, or, I'm nervous or afraid or whatever is stopping me. But you know what? There's so much more that God has for you here on earth and eternity than even what many of us are settling for. What are we settling for? What's inside of us? What have we delayed? And whether you're 20 or you're 80 in the room, there's still things yet to be done that God has for you. There's promises yet that don't feel like, well, I'm too young. Or don't feel like I'm too old. We got to eliminate that kind of stuff from us. If God has promised it to you, if God has declared it to you, if God has given it to you, then it's time to take possession of the promises of God. Amen?
Don't let anybody stop you. Don't let anything inside of you, don't let anybody else say something that would hinder what God wants to do inside of your life. Amen? So it's time to take possession of it. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. This might be a familiar chapter, but as God was kind of stirring this in me, I said, man, that sounds good. You know, taking possession of the promises, that'll preach good. That'll tweet well. You know what I mean? Like, it rhymes. There's P's, two of them, you know, back to back. This is awesome. I said, but how do they do it? This is a great thought, but how do we actually take possession of it? And I felt the Holy Spirit just guide me to Hebrews 11. We're going to read a few verses from there, starting in verse 8. I'm just going to skip around, but I'm going to read quite a few. It says this, by faith, everyone say, by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place where he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Verse 9, by faith, he made his country and a home, in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country, lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. He's looking forward to something. He sees something that isn't yet there. By faith, he's walking into the promises, right? Verse 11, it says this, and by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she had considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from one man as good as dead. That's unfortunate when that's your description in the Bible. You know what I'm saying? Abraham is as good as dead. Came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sands on the seashore. Verse 17, by faith. Everyone say, by faith. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. Verse 27, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. Verse 29, by faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry ground, dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. Verse 32, and what more shall I say? I don't know, I have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, about David, Samuel, and the prophets who through faith, everyone say through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised. Who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign enemies. Wow. What a lineup. I love Hebrews chapter 11. But you can see, what is the writer trying to say here? What is he bringing out? How do we possess the promises of God? It's through faith, right? By faith, through faith, in faith. When circumstances didn't make sense, when everything seemed against them, it was by faith that they began to take possession. In advance, they took possession of the promises that God had for them. So how are you and me going to step into and take hold of what God has for us? By faith. By faith. That's how we do it. How is Genesis Spokane going to continue on to the future, reaching hundreds of thousands of people in this community with the gospel? By faith. By faith. Not by our own efforts, not by our own, just our own, you know, intellectual prowess. I had to use a bigger word, you know, it sounded better after intellectual. Not by that. I mean, God gives us that, and we need to use that, right? But it's going to be through faith that we take on the impossible, that we reach a city, that we change the world that we're living in. The promises are possessed by faith. This is how we take hold of what God has for us. This is how we step into everything that has for us. Faith is the essential key to access the promises of God. If you've wondered sometimes, maybe, why am I not living out everything? It's because it could be there's a lack of faith in your life, that you're not really operating in faith. Now, sometimes things take time and a process, and I'll talk about that. And there's that journey between the promise and possessing of it. But a lot of times people miss out on what God has simply because we have not stepped into a realm of faith to believe and receive what God has already promised us. You see, in the world that we live in, oftentimes we feel like we have to reason our way into everything. But God says, trust me, have faith, and then you're going to begin to walk in it. I mean, that's what the Hebrews 11 is, all these people that God said, hey, I'm going to do this in your life. They're like, well, that seems impossible, but you're God, so I guess. And then they walked into it, right? They didn't get it all figured out before they walked into it. We have to learn how to trust God. We have to learn how to put our faith in God. James chapter 2, verse 17, it talking about faith. It said, in the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by actions, is dead. So faith without actions is dead. A lot of times we've heard that concept. We've heard that reality. And this is so crucial. If we're going to take possession of the promise, how do we kind of get handles on faith? You know, because I feel like sometimes, like, faith sounds great, but it's sort of like this, like, what does that mean? It sort of sounds like, let's just love and let's have peace. Like, all these are sometimes feel like concepts that's hard to really get my hands on sometimes. But what is faith? Faith is the obedient next step. That's how I feel like, for me, is the best way that I can grab onto. What does it mean to have faith? It means to take the obedient next step that God asked me to take. I may not see everything. I may not understand everything about it, but I'm going to take the next step that God has for me. Jesus always, when he would heal people, there was always this action step. There was always this call of stepping in faith that he would ask them to participate in the supernatural miracle. And even the feeding of the 5,000, he asks them for what they have. It's not enough, but Jesus knows that. He says, bring it to me. Jesus puts his hands on it, blesses it, and then he says to them, now you go and give it to the people. Every part of that engagement with Jesus was an act of faith on the disciples' part, because none of it at any point was enough. None of what they brought to the table would have been enough. Even after Jesus had blessed it, they're probably like, okay, cool. We still only have 5 loaves and 2 fishes, so thanks for that. You know what I'm saying? Like, but as they began to give it out, as they began to obey, right, as they began to take the step of faith, the simplicity, there was nothing supernatural about reaching into a basket or a bag and handing out the fish and the bread, but God began to do a miracle as a response of obedience in faith to what God had said. It's faith. It's faith in God. It's faith. It's trusting him. So here's the deal. If we're going to take possession of what God has given us already, it's about taking an obedient next step of faith in response to a couple of key areas. First is in response to his word. Faith is an obedient response to the word of God. God's word is full of promises. Man, what a great book this is. This isn't just a history book, although it's got a lot of great history. It's not just a collection of stories, although they're some of the best. This is God's word to us. Jesus was called the living word of God, right? This is the word of God made flesh to us. This is God's very words to us. And when I live out this word, then I experience the promises in the word. Many Christians live far below what God intended because they're not obeying the word of God. A lot of times it's not always intentional. It's not like Christians are out there going like, today I'm going to do everything God said not to do. That's my goal, right? Rarely, you know, you're probably not a Christian if that's your goal every day. You know what I mean? Like, right, your goal is like, man, I want to live for God. But most of the time, we miss out on it because we're not obeying the word of God. We're not responding to the truth of God. And you know what? One of the reasons why we're not obeying it is because we're not reading it. Just saying. Your pastor is an incredible preacher. We know that. You got other great preachers, right? Yeah, give him a clap. That's good. Come on. He is. Last time I was here, I got to watch him preach. I said, hello. Looks like I can preach. But you know what? Just getting that one engagement of the Word of God once a week from pastor or whoever's preaching up here, come on, there's more than that. Don't settle. Don't feed your spirituality once a week. That don't work. If you only fed your body once a week, you'd be in trouble. Right? But a lot of times we think, okay, go get my spiritual checkup, you know, get my food, and then we starve ourselves all week long until the next week. And this isn't about a condemnation like, you know, if you've missed a day of Bible reading, you're going to hell. No, that's not it. Do you know that you can actually, you don't have to read your Bible at all, and you can still get to heaven, right? That's true, right? Just in case you're wondering, man, I'm not good, I'm not doing all the right stuff. I'm not like a good enough Christian. No, it's not about that. It's not about reading this thing because I'm trying to make God happy with me. I read this because I realize how much he loves me after I read it. When I read this, I realize what God has promised me. So many people don't possess the promises of God because they don't realize that God has promised it to you. So it's hard to claim something you don't realize he already gave you. And a lot of times we're praying for stuff that God's already said, I've already given that to you. You just got to start taking possession of it. You got to start walking in it. You just got to start living in it. I'm telling you what, I'm just so passionate about reminding the church to get back to the Word of God. Man, if we don't have the Word of God in our lives, we cannot hope to stand when trials come. We cannot hope to stand when difficulty comes at us. It's impossible. Jesus said that if we don't get this Word into our lives and obey it, then we're like somebody who builds a house on sand and the ocean comes and crashes it and washes it all away. You know what? If somebody's life is a hot mess and they're a Christian, usually that's a good sign they're not reading this, right? So instead of like being like, man, why does garbage always happen to me? Why don't you read the book? You know what I mean? Get the Word of God into you. Apply it to your life. I love using the YouVersion Bible app on my phone. There's reading plans. It reads to you. God bless 2016. The Bible reads to you now. This is amazing. I got reading plans that keep me on track. This phone can remind me. It reminds me twice a day to read my Bible. It gives me a verse of the day. Man, I have to really not want to read the Bible to ignore all of these reminders, right? And you know what? Just any bit of the Word of God in your life on a daily basis will feed you. David, I love how David talks about the Word. He said, your Word is life to me. Oh, it's life. Nothing better than the Word of God. And it's light. He says the opening of your Word, it brings light. It's like, man, if there's darkness in your situation, open the Word of God. Bring the Word of God into it. That's where light comes. Amen? We got to obey the Word of God. We got to obey the Word of God. This is step one. If the Word of God says it, do it. Simple. Now, not always easy, because what we desire sometimes is contrary to what God's Word has said to us. But you know what? It really is as simple as that. If God has asked us to do it, then let's respond and obey. In faith. In faith. You know, one of those things, each week we talk about giving our tithes and offerings. You know, and that's one of those things that God's Word clearly calls us to bring the tithe. But many people that are Christians still go like, well, I don't know. I'm not really sure if I'm into that. Well, this isn't like something Josh is just making up. You know, it's in the Bible. So let's do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's do it. I've heard countless testimonies of people who were in that, I just don't know if I want to give. You know, I'll chuck a couple bucks here and there. But once they said, like, you know what? I'm going to be a tither. I'm going to be consistent. It's amazing how many stories you hear of the supernatural favor of God on people after they begin to tithe consistently. You're like, yeah, because it's obedience. You know what I'm saying? It's obeying the Word of God, and then you get the promises of God as a result of obedience to His Word. Amen? I love the Word of God. It works. It's the promises of God you can trust. You can go to the bank on it. The other thing is to obey this obedience to the Spirit of God. So God has given us His written Word, but then God will speak to us, right? How many are thankful that God speaks to us, right? He didn't stop speaking after He left the planet. He didn't stop speaking after He gave us the Word and He kind of jetted. He gave us His Holy Spirit. I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit. What would we do without Him? We'd be a hot mess, absolute hot mess. The Holy Spirit guides, speaks, directs. And you know what? you know, the Holy Spirit will never speak anything contrary to the written word of God, just as a reminder to that. But it is important that if the Holy Spirit has spoken to you about something, asked you to do something, challenged you on something, led you into something, it's important that we obey what we feel the Holy Spirit leading us to do. It's not like, well, I can do it or not do it. No, actually, no. When the Holy Spirit calls us, when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, it may be as simple as like, hey, you know what? I feel like I've had the Holy Spirit often say, like, hey, buy that lady in front of you's food. Buy her Starbucks. You know, you just never know why or what's going on. Just little things even like that. And like, okay, I'll do that. And then usually it's like, oh, God. You know, like you don't realize what has happened. Like, why that was so crucial at that moment. You know what I mean? And there's little things like that. It could be major things. You know what I mean? But whatever it is, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, get in the habit of responding in faith, even when it doesn't always make sense to you in the natural. But if God has said it in His Word, if God has spoken to you by His Spirit, then begin to walk in it. Amen? And as you take that step, you're like, I don't really know. But in faith, in obedience to what God has said, I'm going to take a step. And as you do that, you begin to take possession of the promises of God. You begin to step into what God has for you. You begin to step into the purpose. You begin to step into the plan that He has for you. So trust God and take a step. Everyone say, take a step. Trust God and take a step. That's it. That's it. Trust God. Take a step. You don't got it all figured out. I know. Trust God. Take a step. That's it. Step in the direction of His Word. Step in the direction of His Spirit. Whatever God has said, begin to step into it. Now, here's the deal. The challenge is that there is that journey between the promise and taking possession of it. There's a journey between the promise and the promised land that the Israelites began to walk into. There's a process. There's a journey. There's a time lapse. I wish it wasn't like that. I wish we got everything instantly in the moment. But there's a journey in there, and that is where the fight of faith comes in. The gap between God speaking to you or you reading in the Word of God and then actually living it out is a gap. And that is where the enemy comes to steal the Word of God out of us, begins to get doubt into you, begins to breathe fear into you, begins to get you to second guess it and doubt that it's really the Word of God for your life or that God really has something for you. Or, you know, someone's been saying that God's got a great future and you just feel like, man, I just don't see that's possible. There's just doubt that keeps coming in because the enemy knows, man, if I can rob them of faith, if I could steal the Word out of their hearts and get them to second guess it and stop believing, if I could do that, man, if I could do that, then I can sabotage the promise that God has for them. I can get them to miss out on everything that God has for them. I'm telling you what, God, you know, He's calling you to greater things, and He's got an incredible promise. He's got His Word, but you know, we got to walk it out. We got to stay in faith. So here's a couple things, and I'll have the band kind of come up behind me as I kind of wrap up a couple thoughts here. Here's a couple things just to remember as you're stepping in to the promise. As you're beginning to go, okay, yeah, okay, God, I hear you. Okay, God, I'm going to obey, okay? Even right now, there's many of you who there's something that's been inside of you that you have delayed. You've been on pause with. You've been nervous. There's been some fear even. Maybe because of yourself, maybe because of somebody else. But and I just feel like God is just wanting to release some fresh courage and faith in the room this morning to step out in obedience, in faith to what God has promised you. Amen? But here's a couple things we got to remember. These are crucial if we're going to make it through the journey. First thing is that when we're stepping out of faith is we have to quiet our fears. Quiet our fears. Man, they talk loud, don't they, the fears? Don't they? Don't they come at you? As soon as you start to try to trust God, those fears just start yelling at you. They start coming at you hard. You got to align your thoughts with God's thoughts. You've got to fight against the fear. You got to fight against the negative thoughts that are going to try to take us out. They're going to try to take us down. You know, I always think about Peter. You know, Peter is out on the water with the other disciples. They're in the boat, and Jesus comes after him, and Jesus says, hey, don't be afraid, because they're freaking out. They think it's a ghost, and Peter's like, hey. He goes, fear not, it's me. Peter goes, hey, if it's you, tell me to come out. And so Jesus says, come. And so Peter's like, sweet. He jumps over. And, you know, in the boat, you know, he heard Jesus real clearly, and it all made sense. And then he jumps out of the boat. He takes that step of faith in obedience to the word of God, right? Jesus said, come. That's all he needed, the word of Jesus, come. And Peter jumps out. But you know what? That journey between the boat and Jesus, the waves start coming. The wind starts coming. The fear starts coming. The doubts start coming. The odds are stacked against me starts coming. The I don't have the funds for this starts coming. The I don't have the family lineage for this starts coming. The I don't look a certain way. I don't have tight enough skinny jeans like Josh. You know what I'm saying? Like, the fears start coming, right? But you know what? That's where you got to learn how to quiet the fears. That's what the Bible says, to take every thought captive, right? Because otherwise it'll take us out. So we got to quiet the fears. Here's the other thing that we got to do is that we got to focus on the promiser. Hebrews 11, verse 11, we already read it, but I love this. It says this, and by faith, it says in verse 11, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful, who had made the promise. She considered him faithful. How good is that? She considered the promiser. She's in the middle of a situation that seems impossible because physically it is. And there is no way that she has the ability to have a child at her age and her husband's age. This is impossible. So you imagine she's sitting there and she's thinking about everything that's going on, the promises that God has reiterated to them, and it's impossible. Not going to happen. But she stops and she considers him. She considers the promiser. She considers the person who made the promise. She considers where the promise has come from. And she goes, you know what? He's faithful. He's faithful. So I don't understand it all, but he's faithful. I'm going to consider the promiser. I'm telling you what. The promiser is faithful. You know, the promise is only as good as the one who makes it. It's only, you know, some people promise stuff and you're like, yeah, probably not going to happen. And there's some people who promise stuff and you're like, you know what? I know they're going to follow through on that. The promise is good because I know the character of the person who made the promise. Sarah says, I considered the promiser. I've gone over his track record. I've reminded myself of who this is that made the promise to us. And you know what? I found him faithful. He's good. He's faithful to perform his word. He's faithful. And I know that because he's faithful, because he's made this promise, that I can trust him, that I can look to him, that I can believe that if God promised it, that he's going to deliver on the promise. The promise is good and strong because the promiser is faithful. Amen. Let me just remind you guys from my wife and I's even journey this last year of stepping out kind of into some unknown territory, God calling us and sort of saying, go, and we're like, awesome, in faith, we're stepping out. But you know what? It's been a journey. It's been an incredible year. God has been faithful. But you know what? It's been faith. It's been stepping out in faith. It's been trusting God. And you know, in some of the beginning seasons of it, stepping out into this new journey of going kind of from a full-time staff salary at a church to an itinerant ministry, it's more of an entrepreneurial type of a role where there's no guaranteed paychecks, right, that are coming in. So it's faith. You're stepping out. You're believing God. And in the beginning phases, first couple months in, the fridge was not as full as I would have liked it to be. Anyone ever been there? Okay, just three or four of us. Ugh. Anyone ever been where you're like, man, I wish, I'm not quite seeing everything I wanted to see. The fridge wasn't quite the way it should have been. And we're kind of getting down to some of the end supplies in the fridge. And my wife is doing real estate. And at that time, there was a couple potential deals that we're excited about that we had just found out had fallen through. And, you know, So it's frustrating and it's, you know, it's difficult. And I just put my daughters to bed and she's in the kitchen kind of cleaning up and just kind of let me know, ah, man, something just fell through. And so, you know, it's tough. You know what I mean? When you're hitting real life issues and you're coming up against challenges but we had really decided kind of in the beginning phases, really something that came out of my wife's heart is we just had this mantra. We just said, we trust Jesus. We trust Jesus. That was just a statement that was going to come out of us over and over and over again. And for the rest of our lives, we trust Jesus. That's what our motto is going to be. We're going to consider the promiser. When we're in the middle of a difficult situation, we trust Jesus because he never fails. He's always there. He performs his word like he promises. And so I was, you know, she was feeling a little bit more down in that moment, and back and forth we would encourage each other. But in that setting, I said, babe, we trust Jesus. You know, I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know what all, you know, but I know God has called us here. I know that God has promised us. I know that God is, and you know what? God sent birds to feed, you know, the prophet in the wilderness. He can send food to our front door if he wants to, right? So we're going to pray. We're going to trust Jesus. And I'm in the middle of praying. And so we're like, okay, let's pray. And, you know, real life prayers sometimes are not easy. Up here, it's like just eloquent, flowing prayers of faith because we're in the moment. We feel it. And moments like that where it's a fight of faith, it's a bit of a fight to pray sometimes, right? And so it's kind of one of those fight through it prayers. And also my older daughter comes out. So she was like just six. And she comes out randomly. I'm in the middle of praying. She comes out and just smacks me on the butt. She's never done that before, ever. And randomly, right in the middle of this very intense moment, right in the middle of this fight of faith moment, my daughter just smacks me on the butt. I'm like, what are you doing? Get back in bed. You know what I mean? So it's just this irritated moment. And just knew the enemy was trying to distract me in that. And so we kind of just sort of ended the prayer in Jesus' name, amen. And let's go to bed. And the next morning I wake up and just getting ready for the day and heading out the door. And as I head out the door, do we have the photo, I think? Possibly. Do we have a photo or no? No photo? Oh, there it is. Okay, so this is outside my front door. I don't know if they have it here in Spokane, but they just recently had gotten it in San Diego. And this is Amazon Fresh. They will ship food to your door. You know, you order it. Obviously, you have to pay for it, and they ship it to your door. And I walk outside the door, and all of a sudden, there's a stack. This is hundreds of dollars of groceries. And we had no idea that God had inspired somebody to order groceries and send it to our front door. I'll tell you what, he's faithful, guys. The promiser is faithful. I don't know if that delivery guy's name was Raven, but I'm going to go ahead and grab that. You know what I'm saying? God sent a raven to bring food to our front door. I'm telling you what, whatever God has promised you, whatever God has called you to, he's faithful, you guys. He's faithful. Trust God. Can I just remind you to consider the promiser no matter where you're at? Remember, he's faithful. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. As I kind of close, I want to pray for a couple groups of people in the room here. But the verse we read earlier, where it says, God gave Israel all the land he had promised to give. They took possession of it. And then verse 45, it says, not one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Everyone was fulfilled. Amen. Not one of the Lord's good promises failed. God's got good promises. God wants to fulfill the promises. It's time to step out in faith. Amen? It's time to step in faith. We all stand to our feet with me around the room, and I want to pray this morning.